coming up this week on the Rave Podcast.
You are born with a punch bowl like this. You are born with a destiny, a purpose. God has a perfect spouse for your life. And what happens is you start to grow up and you start to listen to your friends. And then what happens is little by little, you start dumping. It looks harmless at first. First of all, give it up for our stage crew. Hey, this is actually more impressive than you think because I didn't spill it, right? Hey, so turn to the person next to you. And what I want you, listen, turn to the person next to you and say, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Thank you. All right, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Hey, I want to tell you a little bit about Kool-Aid because by chance, you may have been spending your whole life drinking it wrong. I'm not kidding you. So I'll never forget, I met my wife, Chanel, and I remember our first year of marriage, I made Kool-Aid. And she started drinking it, and she's like, that is some terrible Kool-Aid. And I said, what are you talking about? She's like, baby, listen, you need to put a little sugar in that Kool-Aid. And she's like, listen, y'all white people don't know how to make Kool-Aid. She said, no, true story. She said, and she said, because when you make Kool-Aid, you follow the instructions. She said, see, when a sister makes the Kool-Aid, she dumps the whole thing of sugar in there, right? And when a sister makes Kool-Aid, she doesn't use just one packet. No, she uses orange, grape, fruit punch, the whole nine yards. And so I tested this theory, and I hate to say it, black people make better Kool-Aid. It's just the truth. My wife makes way better Kool-Aid than I do. And it's sad because my whole life, I've been drinking watered down Kool-Aid packets. And we were so poor when I was a kid, we didn't even get the good Kool-Aid, right, baby? We got Flavor Aid. Who knows what Flavor Aid is? Anybody? Okay. All right, listen. And so to put it in context, Flavor Aid, all right, Kool-Aid's cheap, but Flavor Aid is like 10 cents a packet. And it tastes like sour, stale gummy worms that have been stuck in the dirt or something. It's bad, okay? And so when I tell you don't drink the Kool-Aid, that's what I mean. There's a story behind it. Do you know where that term has come from? How many of you guys have heard that term, don't drink the Kool-Aid? Anybody in here ever heard the term don't drink the Kool-Aid? Okay. And so the term comes like, the term basically means this. Just because somebody tells you something doesn't mean it's true, right? Just because somebody tells you that something's good for you doesn't mean it's good. Just because you read something on Facebook or Instagram doesn't mean it's true. Ooh, it's getting real. And so it's funny though, because how this saying started was way back in the 70s, okay? This is really good. You're going to love this story. So there was this like hippie dude, and he's like, I'm going to start this commune, and we're all going to live together in the middle of nowhere, and we're going to drink Kool-Aid, and we're going to like start our own religion. And this is crazy. And so what happened is all these people just listened to everything this guy said. They just believed him. He said, hey, I want everybody to eat grass for lunch. Everybody would eat grass for lunch. I'm not kidding you. If he said, I want everybody to jump off a bridge, everybody would jump off a bridge. Listen. This guy was an occult leader. And what happened is one day, this is the craziest thing, the largest poison, human poisoning in history took place. In 1978, this man had 900 people drink poison Kool-Aid. And they all drank it even though they'd seen everyone else die. And it's so amazing how we just listen to people just because they tell us to do something. Just because our friends listen to a certain music. Just because our friends watch certain movies. Just because our science teacher said something was true at school, we just drink the Kool-Aid, even if it's not good for us. See, I believe that your generation is living, and 900 people died that day because they drank the Kool-Aid because somebody told them it was good. And in the same way, you guys are living in a generation where there is the largest poisoning in the history of our nation. And it may not be a physical poisoning, but it's a poisoning of your mind. It's a poisoning of your mind. And the thing is sadly, your peers, your friends at school are going ahead and drinking the lies of the devil without even questioning whether it's true or whether it's not. Ooh, this is good. Is this not like starting to settle with you? If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a Kool-Aid, and we call it the way that culture tells us to live. And just because culture says that something is acceptable, how many of you guys know that doesn't mean that it's necessarily good? Just because somebody says something is good for you doesn't mean that it's good. And so as I'm talking about this whole concept of don't drink the Kool-Aid, I can't help but think of a scripture in the Bible. How many of you guys have heard of Adam and Eve? Anybody in here ever heard of Adam and Eve? All right, so Adam and Eve is one of the first stories in the Bible. It's actually the third chapter of the entire Bible. And Adam and Eve, if you didn't know, they were the first human beings to ever live. It was the first woman and the first man, okay? And so how many of you guys have seen Snow White? Anybody seen Snow White? All right, listen, my wife is a Disney fanatic. And ever since I had a kid, my kid can't even understand the Disney movies, but my wife will make me watch a Disney movie at least 3 times a week now. And so I've become quite acclimated with the movie Snow White. And one of the most powerful scenes in the movie is when this wretched old lady, she walks up to Snow White and she offers this apple. You guys remember the apple? And the apple looks so sweet. It looks so good. It's shiny. It's polished. And even I, as a kid, I'm like, ooh, man, I could eat that apple. That apple looks yummy. And what happened is Snow White ate the apple, and what happened? She got poisoned. She fell into a sleep, a deep sleep. And in the same way, there's this apple of lies that the world has been telling you, and we're all taking bites without even thinking, is this good for me? And so Adam and Eve were faced with the same scenario. They were in the Garden of Eden. They were the first man and the first woman. And in the garden, I want you to imagine this. I need a guy. Can I get a guy up here? I need a guy. You know what? Right here, man. You right here. Jurassic Park. Woo! Everybody give it up for him. Hey, what's your name, man?
Rainy.
Okay. This is going to be my Adam. All right. I need a girl. Okay. Let me see. Who do we got here? Where's Right here. You know what? Katie. Katie, come on up here. Yeah, everybody give it up for Katie. Well, there wasn't two girls. We'll go this Katie. You next time. I got you next time. Get up here, Katie. Katie, get on up here. And so in the beginning, there was one man and there was one woman. Everybody say hi, Adam.
Hi.
Adam. And Adam was really lonely. And so God gave Adam a wife, and her name was Eve. Everybody say, hi, Eve.
Hi, Eve.
This is Eve, and this is Adam. And so what happened, though, is in the Bible, you have this scene where Adam and Eve are in paradise. I want you to imagine Hawaii right now. I picked you because you had a Jurassic Park shirt. And how many of you guys have seen Jurassic Park? Okay, good movie. And anyway, did you know that Jurassic Park was filmed in Hawaii? Oh, yeah. I went there on my honeymoon, the most beautiful place on the planet. I mean, it is like paradise. I can almost imagine pterodactyls flying. I mean, it is that beautiful in Hawaii, okay? And so here's Adam and Eve, and they're in paradise. And things are really good. And they have all the food they ever need. And God said, hey, you can eat of anything in this entire garden. You can eat of anything in this entire garden, but do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so there was one tree in the center of the garden. He said, you can have everything else. You can have apples. You can have grapes. You can have pomegranates. You can have banana. Listen. You can have all the fruits, but just don't eat from that tree. And so for a while, they were really good. But then things started to change. Every day, Eve would look at the tree, and she'd be like, Yeah. I wonder what that fruit tastes like. Hmm. Oh, but I can't eat that fruit. And then the next day would go by, and then she'd be a little bit closer to the tree, and she'd say, hmm. Can you say hmm again? Hmm. Yeah, very good. She'd say, hmm. I wonder what that fruit tastes like. I've had all the other fruit, but I haven't had that one. And then one day, a snake comes in. I need somebody who can be a snake for me. Who's a snake? Who is? I need the snakiest slithery. We got a snaky man. Get on up here. Sliver your way on up here. Okay. All right. Everybody, give it up for the snake. Say, hey, what's up? I'm a snake. Snake. Just like that. And so we have the snake. He's slithering away. And he comes up to Eve. And he says, how you doing? Yeah, it's something like that. And Eve's like, oh my goodness, are you talking to me? And so what happens, I want to go ahead and pull up this scripture, because just like culture tells us, we're very similar to Adam and Eve. We're very similar to Eve, okay? Every day we're living our lives, God has given us so much freedom to enjoy life. But how many guys notice, sometimes we're curious about the things that we don't know. Sometimes we're curious about the things that we don't have. Sometimes we're curious about the things we haven't heard or the things we haven't seen. And so what happens is we say, you know what, I can party like everyone else. I just won't do the bad stuff. We say, I can listen to the same music. It doesn't affect me. I can tune out the bad words. We say, I can be in sexual relationships like everyone else. At least I'm doing it safe. I'm just going to keep it real. What happens is we think we can handle the fruit that God told us. We think we can drink the Kool-Aid without getting poisoned. Ooh, this is getting real. And the thing is I want to talk about three lies that convince us to drink the Kool-Aid. And you guys can just stand here for one more second. And I want to read this real quick, because the serpent was clever. Can you be clever for us? Show us what clever looks like. Yeah, No life. You got to do that. There we go. That's perfect. Look at this guy. He is a perfect snake. You can stand over here. Stand right over there. Okay? The serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman. Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, not at all. We can eat from all the trees in the garden. It's only the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, don't eat from it. Don't even touch it or you'll die. The serpent told the woman, you won't die. Say, you won't die. You won't die. And so the first thing is the first lie that you will get when you're tempted to drink the Kool-Aid and live like the rest of the world. The first thing that you'll think is, it won't kill me. It won't kill. Turn to the person next to you and say, nah, it'll kill you. Nah, it'll kill you. The first lie the devil tries to trick you with, this is really good, because when you're tempted to look at things that you know you shouldn't look at, when you're tempted to smoke weed like all the other kids at school, when you're tempted to gossip, ladies, when you're tempted to talk bad about somebody else, and you say, oh, it won't kill me. I can get away with this. No one will even know. It's when you start to think that way that you are in deep weeds. You are getting so close to drinking the Kool-Aid, it's not even funny. And then it goes on. I love this part. It says, God knows that the moment you, this is what the snake said. The snake keeps talking, all right? He says, God knows that the moment that you eat from the tree, you'll see what's really going on. And you'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. Ranging good from evil. See, basically God said, don't eat from the tree, because the things that it will reveal to you are not good for you. And the devil said, what are you talking about? Don't you want to be like God? Don't you want to know what God knows? Aren't you curious what it tastes like? Aren't you curious? How many of you guys have ever been curious about something? All right, have you ever been curious? And see, the thing is, curiosity can be an amazing thing, but when it's untethered, it is deadly. I have a son. You guys can have a seat, by the way. Everybody give it up for our snake, Eve and Adam. You guys did a great job. So I have a son. And his name's Uriah. My son is the cutest. How many guys, everybody say, aw. I miss my kid right now. But my son is the cutest kid in the world. But I'll tell you what, he has an issue. He is addicted to cables. He is addicted to anything connected to electric plug-in. And so my son, he'll be across the room and he'll wait until I'm not looking. And this is what he does. I'm just going to can I show you guys how he crawls real quick? And this is embarrassing. He does this. He goes. That's how my son crawls. No kidding you. He inchworms across the floor as fast as he can. And he gets that cable and he's looking at me. He's like, does Dad see me? And he looks at the cable. And then he looks at me again. And then he just can't help it. He sees the cable and just starts slobbering on it. And I have to say, Uriah! And I have to run over and pick up my son before he electrocutes himself and fries his brain. I love my son. But my son doesn't know what's best for him yet. My son will climb up on something and he'll fall and bust his head and start crying. See, the danger is when we start to think that we know what's best for us, when we think, I can handle the Kool-Aid, I can handle the music that everyone else is, I can handle a relationship, all my other friends are dating, I can handle it. I won't get burnt, I won't die, I can handle it. And that's when we start to step into that temptation. The second lie is you are gonna miss out. You are gonna miss out. All your friends are doing it. They're having so much fun on Saturday night. Everyone else is on Fortnite swearing and saying things they shouldn't say. You're gonna miss out on the God talk. You're gonna miss out. That's the lie number two, is you're gonna miss out. And see what the devil said is this. This is what the serpent said. Go ahead and bring that scripture up one more time. I want to point this out because this is so good. This is how the serpent speaks. He says, don't you want to know everything that God knows? That's what he said. Don't even pull it up. It's okay. The third lie. The third lie. Turn to the person next to you and say, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. So here's what happens. Go ahead and pull up Genesis 3, 5 through 6. It says, when the woman saw that the tree looked, everybody say looked. Because a lot of times the things that look good for us aren't necessarily good. She saw that the tree looked good eating and realized that what she would get out of it. She realized what she would get out of it. And what happened is she thought, I would know everything. So she took it and ate the fruit and gave some to her husband. See, the thing is, a lot of times we say, you know what? Oh, this looks really good. I've done really good for a long time. I deserve it. I deserve to try this. It looks good. It looks like it's fine. Maybe God must have messed up. Maybe he was talking about that tree. This one looks good. Everyone else is eating it. They seem fine. I deserve it. I've done good for so long, I can get away with it. You know, I remember a time, have anybody in here ever had food poisoning? All right, so one time I went to a barbecue, and I showed up. It was my first barbecue with Chanel's family. It was a grad party, and boy, I'll tell you what, they had everything. How many of y'all have been to, like, a barbecue? No, listen, y'all, I'm not talking about burgers and potato chips. I'm talking about you got fried chicken, and then you got the spaghetti, and then you got the potato salad. Yeah, come on. Can I get an amen? Now, we talking about a barbecue. And I remember I'm like, ooh, these wings look so good. And so I piled my plate of these deep-fried barbecue wings. And man, I'll tell you, with the spaghetti on the side, because spaghetti is a side in case you didn't know. And anyway, so I'm eating all my barbecue wings, and man, they were the best wings I've ever had in my life. I swear. And so I ate one, I ate two, I ate three, I ate four, and all of a sudden, man, I ate like a whole plate of wings. And anyway, that night, I went home, and I started to feel a little rumbling in my stomach. I started to feel, ooh, something ain't right. And I'm here to tell you, I had the most explosive diarrhea I've ever had in my life. I mean, I was so sick, I was shooting out one end, and I was shooting out the other. I mean, it was bad. I didn't know whether to sit on the toilet or face it. It was a dilemma of my lifetime. I'm telling you, this was rough. But the thing is it looks good. Is it look good? And you know what? You won't feel the effects of sin right away. You may even get away with it. I ate a whole plate of wings. But later on, I promise you, you will feel it. The devil will convince you of three lies. The first one is it won't kill you. The second one is you are going to miss out. And the third one, you deserve it. And there's three side effects that I want to talk about, because I was just talking about the side effects of eating chicken wings. How many of you guys know that's bad? But there's three side effects, and I want to just finish up by going with this. It says this. Immediately. Everyone say immediately.
Immediately.
So Eve, she took the fruit, and she gave some to her husband, and he ate it too. And it says immediately the two of them did. See what's really going on? They saw themselves naked, and they started to sew fig leaves together as makeshift clothes for themselves. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden. They hid from God. They hid from God. Go ahead and pull up the next scripture. God called to the man. "Where are you?" he said. "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." That's what Adam said. "And I hid." And the thing is what I want to bring about this story is there's three side effects that you'll live. You may live in sin for a while. You may be even able to get away with it. But eventually, you know what happens? We start doing what everyone else does. We start to try to cover up. We start to put on this facade. We try to make everyone see what we want them to see. And then what happens is we're just like Adam and Eve sewing fig leaves together called Instagram. So people only see the highlight reels of our life, not the behind the scenes. And we all start hiding behind this fabricated version of ourselves because we are too ashamed to be who God's made us to be. See, when we start living like the world, when us as Christians start living like everybody else, what happens is we start to hide. We lose our boldness. We lose our strength to be able to invite somebody to house parties. We lose our confidence to say, "Hey, you know what? I am a Christian and I'm not ashamed of it." What happens is we start to hide. And the worst part of it is, you know who we usually hide from when we feel ashamed? We hide from God. And the thing is the whole time God is looking for us, saying, "Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?" Even when you're messing up and you're making mistakes and you're out on the weekend with your friends doing things, God is saying, "Where are you, my son? Where are you, my daughter? I love you." And it's kind of like this punch bowl here. I have a punch bowl. I need one volunteer. Who likes punch? Who likes Kool-Aid? Who really likes Kool-Aid? You know what? Right here. Right here. I like your hero shirt. Yes. Come on up here. Hang with my heroes. So I have some punch here. And I want you to drink this real quick. Enjoy it. This is good punch.
What'd you do?
There's nothing wrong with this. This is good punch. I promise you, okay? This is no joke. Go ahead and drink the punch. This is not a joke. It's not a joke, I promise. Okay, all right. I need someone up. Benjamin. Okay, all right, she'll drink it. Shh, peer pressure, you see that? That's great. It's good Kool-Aid. Isn't that really good Kool-Aid? That is awesome Kool-Aid. In fact, this Kool-Aid is Hawaiian punch. I promise you, there's nothing. This is the best pure Kool-Aid in the house, okay? It's sugary, it's sweet, it's delicious. But what happens is you are born... Listen, guys, this is good. You are born with a punch bowl like this. You are born with a destiny, a purpose. God has a perfect spouse for your life. And what happens is you start to grow up and you start to listen to your friends. And they say, "Hey, you know what? I can't believe what Susie did last week. Can you believe it? She is a loser. Oh, my gosh, she stinks at volleyball. Why does she even play?" And you're like, "I agree. I hate Susie." And then what happens? As little by little, you start dumping. It looks harmless at first. And then you grow up a little bit older. And then all of a sudden, your friends are going out. And they're like, "Hey, dude. Hey, you got to check out this new rap song I found." And you start listening to it. And every other word is the F word, talking about things that you know are bad for you. And it seems harmless. "Oh, it's just a little bit. It ain't going to hurt. I can get away with it. I can cut out the words." And then you download it on your Spotify. It's like, it's only one song out of 20. And then what happens is those same friends are out on the weekend, and they're saying, "Hey." Sounds like somebody's peeing, doesn't it? That's great. They say, "Hey, my goodness, you need to go to this party, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, here, you got to try this shot. It's just one shot. It won't hurt you." And before you know it, you're sitting on a couch, and you're like, "Hey, man, come on, try this. Just one joint. It's not going to hurt you. Everyone else is doing it. Come on, don't be afraid. Don't be a wimp." And then all of a sudden you meet this boy, and he walks up, and he is fine. And he's like, "Hey, girl, You're the most beautiful thing I ever seen. You want to get with me? And then before you know it, you're pushing boundaries in your relationship. And maybe even at one time you thought you were going to be pure. And you decide, hey, at least I'm using protection. And then before you know it, you're living a life that is a complete lie. And what was once powerful, what was once amazing, what was once an amazing destiny for your life has been saturated with all the wrong things. And before you know it, this once powerful, do you want to taste this Kool-Aid? Why not? Why don't you want to taste it?
It's like all like, doesn't taste like Kool-Aid anymore.
It's watered down.
Yeah.
It's watered down. It's watered, taste that Kool-Aid. No, that white people Kool-Aid. That's bad.
Not that bad, though.
Listen, guys, this is exactly what happens to you. When you make one little compromise, it just seems like a small compromise. It's only 10%. It's only 10%. It's only 10%. I have 10 cups up here. It's only a little bit. Every little compromise that you make dilutes the power for God to use you in your life. Ooh, that's good. That is good. That is good. And so you can have a seat. You can have a seat. Listen. The reason we called tonight 100, because my challenge for you is to be a generation of young people who say, you know what? I'm not compromising anymore. I will not let the world, the things that I will not be poisoned by culture. I'm going to keep it 100. I'm going to be true to myself. I don't have to act like so-and-so. I don't have to talk like so-and-so. I don't have to be like so-and-so because I know that God made me fearfully and wonderfully with a purpose, and I won't let anything dilute that. That's good. And my challenge for you tonight is this. And I know this is extreme. I know this is a challenge. You're like, man, Pastor Eric, that's kind of a hard message. But the reason being is because you have a story worth telling. The good thing is this isn't the end of the story. This isn't the end of the story. If I had 10 packets of Kool-Aid and a whole thing of sugar right now, how many of you guys know I could make this better again?
Oh, yeah.
I could fix this up. See, the amazing thing is just like this thing of Kool-Aid, when you invite Christ into your life, when you invite Jesus into your life and you say, you know what? I give my life to you, God. I surrender. He starts to pour in sugar. He starts to fill you back up in a way. He takes away the dilution. He makes you whole again. And the thing is no matter the mistakes you made, no matter how messed up you've been, Jesus can give you a fresh start. And one thing I really believe about keeping it 100 is we call this Rave Night for a reason. It's not just because it's a cool name. It's not just because it's a party. But we're really big on telling others. How many of you guys know God wants us to tell others about what he's doing? We can't keep quiet. Listen. You have a story worth telling. And if you notice, there's on your chair a card that says Rave Report. And I want everybody to just pull this out real quick. And I want to invite my friend up, Carter. Everybody give it up for Carter. Carter. This is my man, Carter. Pound it. Carter has decided to do something tonight. I'm so proud of him. If you know about our youth ministry, our goal is to take people from the grave, so people who are spiritually dead like this punch bowl right here, to get them saved, to have them enter a relationship with Jesus. Then they get courage and become brave like my man Carter here, and they start serving, and then they do what I think is the most important. They start to rave about who God is and what he's done in their life. And listen, you guys hear it from me every week, but Carter said, hey, you know what? I feel like it's time to tell my story. I feel like it's time to share what God has done in my life. And so I'm proud of Carter because he's going to share his testimony and rave about what God's done, and he's going to keep it 100. And so I'm going to give Carter my mic here. I'm just going to hold it. Let me see. All right. They forgot to hook me up with a mic here, so we're going to make this work.
What's up, guys? How you guys doing? All right, my name is Carter Geigley. How many of you guys know me?
Yeah!
All right, pretty much all of you. All right, so I was raised up Mennonite, and so basically I was extremely sheltered as a kid, but I was introduced to pornography at a later age of 16, and it tore me up mentally and ruined my relationship with a few friends, and my parents especially, but most importantly, with God. But thankfully, God put a few people, important people in my life to take me through that situation. Then I became on and off with everything, including God. I was invited to be a counselor at junior high camp. I saw a couple of my guys right here. Anybody?
Where you at, junior high camp?
Josiah, yeah. Junior high boys, come on. I saw a few of them, but they thought that I was there to help them. They actually changed my life. But, so Pastor Paul was talking about last Sunday, having a shallow faith with Jesus, and that's kind of what I had. And so God kind of put something on my heart. So think of a little oak tree like seed, all right? God, as soon as you accept Jesus, God plants that seed in the ground and wants you to grow, all right? So when you're reading your Bible and praying and everything, you're growing in your relationship with Jesus, all right? But the devil tries to take that seed out. He tries to take that plant out. And when you have shallow roots like that, you're not reading your Bible, not praying as much as you should, he takes that right out with drugs, pornography, addictions, alcohol, lying, and disrespectful. But he pulls that seed right out. But God, good thing God's a God full of second chances. Mm. He definitely gave me a lot of chances. Mm. But then you start with a relationship with Jesus Christ all over again. That's what I did. Praying, reading your Bible more, and going to church more. Then your tree begins to grow and grow and grow. And now look at me. I'm up here talking to you guys, telling you guys about my past and what I was doing.
That's powerful.
Now I'm 2 months clean, and I couldn't have done it without my relationship with Jesus Christ, without God and people God put in my life. Mm. And now, ladies and gentlemen, if God is for us, who can stand against us?
Mm. Wait. Stay up here, Carter. Stay up here. Everyone give it up for Carter. Listen, I want to brag on him because do you know how much courage this takes? In a world where everyone's putting on a facade and hiding behind lies, this man got up here and shared with you what he's been through and what God's done in his life. Listen, that's big. I'm so proud of him. And so, if you want to share your story at a future rave or eventually, I want you to fill this out if you feel something in your heart. Here's what I want to do. Everyone bow their heads real quick. Everyone bow their heads, and we're going to invite the band up. And I just want to pray with you real quick because there's some young people in here today that maybe you've been living that lie. On the outside, everything looks okay. You still look red like this punch bowl, but really you know how deluded your life has been. You lack purpose, you lack significance. Maybe you live in a home where your parents tell you that you don't have a purpose for your life, or you have a critical father who's always critiquing you. Or maybe for you, you've been thinking about suicide, you've been struggling with anxiety or depression. Maybe for you, at school, you feel like a misfit. You don't feel like you belong. Everyone else seems to have their friends and seems to be loved, but you don't feel loved. Or maybe for you, you grew up like Carter. You grew up in church. And on the outside, everything looked good, but deep inside, you were hurting. See, the amazing thing is God wants to heal you tonight. And that starts right here with keeping it real and be honest with where you're at with Jesus. Because the thing is you can't do this without the power of Jesus in your life. He is the only thing that can make you whole. If you're in here today and you want to start that relationship with Jesus, you want him to begin to make you one whole, you want him to make you 100 again, that starts by raising your hand and accepting him as your Lord and Savior. If you're in here tonight and you want to start that relationship, you want to start keeping it 100, you want the freedom of no longer hiding in shame, no longer living in fear. If you want that, raise your hand right now, all across the room. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So many hands. Thank you, 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 thank you. So many hands. I'm so proud of you guys. Thank you, thank you. I'm so proud of you guys. Keep those hands up. Everyone say this prayer after me. Everyone say, Jesus, thank you so much for dying on the cross for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Change me. Make me into the person you want me to be. Make me 100 again. And I'll live for you all my days. In Jesus' name, amen.